This is my family. I've never really introduced my family before. I've stood up here and spoke a few times. I've worked overseas, like I said, in Manila for 24 years. I represented Hong Leong over there, Hong Leong Group, Hong Leong Group's investments in Manila. I've since retired. Okay, 2016, I sold the business. Okay, gave the money back to Tan Sri and decided to come home. All right, and so. My family's with me all the time in Manila. We love that country. You know, the people there are really warm. And since then we've been going back and forth, transitioning and all that. But this year, having started Every Nation Church here, I don't think we can travel that much anymore. All right, we'll miss Manila. Okay. But these are my kids. My wife's here. My wife Anne is here with us. Right, that's my eldest, Grace. Grace is married to Dave. Dave's an American. He's an Italian-American, but he's very Chinese, actually. Because, let me tell you this. You know, the first time I met him and the family, we visited them in a house, and we need to take off the shoes. How many of you know that Americans want you to take off the shoes in the house? I mean, I said, this must be a sign from God. He's the right guy for my daughter to marry. You know, it's so Chinese, you know. So we walk around barefoot in the house. This is an American home, all right. So it's fantastic. That's my son, Adrian. Adrian, he worships in Damansara. I think he's on the worship team with you guys. And my youngest, Joy, she just graduated last year, 2018. She just found a job, you know. Praise God for the breakthrough. And, and so that's my family. This year, as we come to a new message for the new year. This is our first service for the year, all right? And as usual, how many of you went to a New Year's Eve party? Come on. So, only this few? I mean, all of you are so good. You know, you stayed at home. I stayed at home because I had jet lag. I just arrived from the States on Monday, on the 31st night, all right? But it's always exciting, right? Chasing that midnight hour. How many of you know that's exciting? I remember in 2017, we went to Australia. I worked in Manila for so long. I've not seen my cousin for almost 30 years. So I went to Australia to visit her, and we saw the fireworks on Sydney Bridge. How many of you know the fireworks on Sydney Bridge is just amazing? You know, the firewall that comes down at 12 midnight, that firewall alone. What's interesting is that before they announced Tokyo is already celebrated, all right? So Tokyo starts celebrating because they hit 12 midnight early, and then Sydney, and then after that, it's Malaysia, Singapore, and then it's UK, and then it's New York, US. So it's amazing. But people chase. We chase after that, all right? But the other thing that we chase after is resolutions. We all want to put on some resolutions. Here, I've got some crazy New Year resolutions that I found on the internet. All right, how many of you know that this is really crazy? All right? If you want... Okay, maybe this is good. Some of you young guys, all right, increase my relationship from forever alone to slightly desperate. Okay? How many of you had that resolution done up? All right? Or, this is even better. Never again will I take sleeping pills and laxatives on the same night. Okay, this is a big challenge. Okay? If you are the third one, don't raise your hands, okay? Get away. This is the resolution for 2017. Get away from toxic people. Wait, I'm the one who's toxic, okay? So if you are that guy, don't lift up your hands, all right? And lastly, this is a favorite because everybody loves to exercise more. But he's saying that exercise my right to eat more tacos, all right? So we all have crazy resolutions. And in fact, in 2018, you find that in 2018... some of the most common New Year resolutions that people have come up with is to eat healthier, 37% of that. And also getting more exercise, save more money, so there's an equal distribution of that. But the last one, 32%, some felt that, oops, sorry, I went up too fast. Some felt that they have no need to make any resolutions. And I'm kind of one of them, you know. You know, they find that statistics show that 80% of the people, okay, 80% of the people, by the first week of February, you already stopped your resolutions. All right, all this, you know, jotting down resolutions and all that, by the first week of February, It's gone. Nobody does it anymore. All right? In fact, the statistics show that only 8% of the people who put resolution actually carry it to the end. So, in a way, the odds are against us. Right? In a way, the odds are against us. But that doesn't mean that you do not set goals. I heard the podcast of Joshua. It says that the top 3% of the people set goals. So if you want to be in the top 3% of the people, then you need to set some goals in your life, all right? But it's the approach that you take that's important, okay? Don't just set goals for the sake of setting goals. You know, because life is really a race, you find that we chase the midnight hour. The midnight hour is really fascinating, right? It's really fascinating because we all wait for the clock to hit 12. And when we hit 12, we are all celebrating, right? How many of you jumped out, high five, hugs, kiss, you know? And this all the thing, okay? You did everything that was so energetic. But then you find that after that 1 minute is gone, when you drive your car home, park the car, get into your house, nothing has changed, right? An important thing is that the sky is still dark, right? After the midnight hour, everything remains the same. The sky is still dark. It takes at least another 5-6 hours before dawn breaks. And life is kind of like that. All right? Life is kind of like that. When we cross into the new year, there's so much anticipation. There's hope. There is, you know, things to look forward to. And then at the end of the day, when the adrenaline has all gone down, you find that your credit card bill is still there. All right? Your tenaga bill is still there. Some of us who may have children, your school fees are still there. Okay, so things haven't much changed, all right? So life is kind of like a journey. So you have to journey through 5-6 hours of darkness before dawn breaks. Let me encourage you that, you know, when you are with God, dawn will break for you. It's not a question of if there's a breakthrough. It's a question of when that breakthrough will come. So I say amen to that. Amen. All right, that's great, all right? So like I said, in a way, I've not made resolutions for many years, but I live by certain priorities in my life. I set some really strong priorities in my life, big chunks of it, and try to work within those priorities, okay? Now, we find that these are some of the principles we can learn from the Bible, because, again, taking out from what Joshua mentioned earlier, okay, what do you want to be remembered with? All right, you want to do things that are significant, things that are important in your life. Okay, who will remember you? That's so important. Okay, if you want to, you can be the most richest guy in the whole world, and if your kids have nothing good to say about you, you actually fail. You know, so what's really significant, what's important in your life dictates the kind of priorities that you have. But first, let's look at what the Bible says. All right. Okay, Philippians 3:13-14. It reads like this. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, all right? Everybody say one thing. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes. This is so interesting, right? Because it seems like there are three things here. Okay, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward and putting on a winning attitude to win the prize. Okay, but the Bible says one thing. You know, Paul is saying, you know, one thing I do, but there's three things there. Okay, so it's really three things in one motion. All right, let me explain. It's not like I'm going to put a resolution out this year that I'm going to leave everything behind. Okay, so this year I'll just do leaving behind and not do anything else. And then next year, I will do straining forward. I'll try and pursue aggressively the dreams that I have. And then later, then I'll put on my winning attitude. No, it doesn't happen that way. These all three things must happen at the same time. So it's a one thing, okay? So one thing I do, according to Paul, is that I forget what lies behind. And what's interesting also is that he says what lies behind. He didn't say what has laid behind, okay? What has laid behind will not affect you today. It's already past and gone. The problem is that what forgetting what lies behind means something that is behind, some challenges, some setbacks that you had behind, but it's still affecting you today. All right? So that's the thing that you need to let go. Okay? Get me? All right. So You forget what lies behind. You strain forward. You pursue aggressively. Okay, what lies ahead of you, and you press on to win the prize. Okay, this is what Paul is saying. Actually, the context of this verse is about his own spiritual walk with Jesus. Right, Paul is saying, you know, Paul actually is a Pharisee. Paul is a top-notch lawyer. How many of you know that a Pharisee is a number one lawyer in Israel? Right, you know, the Pharisees, they memorize the Bible. Or rather, the Torah, the Jewish law itself. Right? They memorize it from start to finish and from end to beginning again. You know, they don't have our switch-on Bible, okay, from your iPad or your phone. They don't have a book that they can just open to refer. Those days, it's on a scroll, all right? Recently, we went on a trip to Israel in November, and it was fascinating. It was on a Sabbath day, actually, and I saw the Jews. They were crying in front of the Wailing Wall, and they were praying, earnestly praying, you know. And they took out this Torah. It's a huge book, the book of the Jewish Torah itself, you know, and they pull it out. Can you imagine Paul carrying all these things around, okay, to refer? I mean, if he needs to refer to a verse, he will carry all this and open it. Impossible. So they memorize it. He's a guy who knows everything about the law. He's a top-notch lawyer. Okay. In fact, in Philippians itself, he said, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. For a guy to claim that I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews, this guy is pedigree. Okay. So what he's saying is, despite who I am, despite how good I am, I have not arrived yet. I've not made it my own. I've not arrived yet. I'm still progressing. Okay, and that's the attitude we need to have as we move into the year 2019. Don't think that you have already arrived. Whatever achievements of the past doesn't guarantee you achievement or success in the new year. I remember I worked at Hong Leong, I tell you, okay, if you, this year I can make a couple hundred million for Tan Sri, next year is a new budget, okay. Don't tell me, oh, sir, I made for you, no, this year I can rest. No such thing, okay. If you don't make money, you're going to get kicked out, all right. So your past success is not going to guarantee your future success. Okay? So here Paul says he's straining forward despite the fact that he's actually a very good, he's an excellent lawyer, but still he's not there yet, and he is forgetting what lies behind. You know that Paul in his life, as he walked with Christ, as he served Jesus, you find that his life wasn't easy. He was thrown in jail. He almost drowned because the boat capsized. He almost died. All right. And so he had a hard time. And what he's saying is that forgetting all those things, okay, I'm still hurted. I still hurt by all these things, but forgetting all those things, I'm straining forward. I'm looking towards the goal that I have, okay, in Christ Jesus. So that's what he's basically trying to do. And we can learn from that. We can learn these principles. Now, how many of you know that principles are timeless? Yeah. Right? The Bible has been here for how many years? 6,000 years probably, right? And it still applies today. Okay, what happened 6,000 years ago is the same today, and it will be same tomorrow. Right? There are a lot of books that are written and all that, you know, new ways, techniques and all that, but the principles don't change. Okay, your approach to things may change, your techniques may change, your tactical strategy may change. But the principle behind things doesn't change, all right? So as we enter the new year, we got to learn how to let go, all right? We learn how to let go. Or rather, I just put this up because I know Joshua was going to mention this, okay? It's the game of life, okay? Because Paul said that, in you know, he's pressing on the race. Actually, he's referring to the fact that life is like a game of, it's like a race itself. How many of you played this game before? I mean, enjoy this game. Even if you haven't played this game, maybe the next holiday, buy the board game, and it's interesting. You can play four or six players, I think, all right? And literally takes you from college to retirement. It's such a very real game. I mean, it comes out with a lot of, I think some of you financial planners use this, right? Kind of like to warm up your people, I don't know. I remember somebody introduced me, he was a financial planner. He was saying that, you know, if you go through this, you'll realize how difficult life is. Okay. In fact, they even include pets, they include lawsuits, they include all sorts of things, you know, just to make it really interesting. So Our journey in that 4 or 5 hours before dawn is like a race like that. Okay. So the principle that we learn from Paul is that there are three things here that we need to do. And as I said, these three things are done in one motion. You cannot do it compartmentalized. Right? We need to let go, forgetting what lies behind, pursue passionately, we strain forward to what lies ahead, and we need to put on a winning attitude. All right? And so we're gonna learn from other people's mistakes. You know, I was in Manila when we started in 1990 when we first went there to establish Hong Leong's investments. You know that as Malaysia, our capital markets are so much more advanced than Philippines at that time. You know, because at that time Philippines was just coming out of martial law essentially, so a lot of their banking and financial market system wasn't very well established yet. So when we went there, we've been doing corporate exercises, taking over companies, mergers, acquisition, all over. And when we went there, we were like the darlings of the stock market. Our companies just went up. Okay. But the problem is that because we're overseas, we are so reliant on US dollars and all that. So in the 97 crisis, we also came down because of the devaluation of the ringgit, devaluation of the peso and everything else. So Asian currencies dropped. So we went up, came down, and I rebuilt the company again, and finally I sold it off. So if you want to learn anything from me, there's plenty to hear, plenty of stories. How many want to hear?
Yes.
Okay, you'll come back again next Wednesday. All right?
Every Wednesday,
yes. But tonight we will learn about Joseph. It will be Joseph's life story, okay? Now, how many of you read about Joseph's life over here? Right? It's an interesting fella. Okay, Joseph is actually one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph was 17 years old. The Bible says he was a 17-year-old young man. He's actually the father's favorite son. Okay, how many of you believe that if you exercise favoritism, it's going to be very dangerous, whether it's in a family or whether it's in a business, you know, whether you're in a team, all right? And because he's the father's favorite son, the brothers hated him. The Bible says they don't have one kind word to say about Joseph, okay? But Joseph essentially actually is an excellent guy. He's a pretty excellent guy. He's an obedient son. He's very gifted. He can interpret dreams, okay? And the Bible says the Lord was with him. Okay, so this is a guy, I don't know if you know such a person. I'm sure you do. But if you are the kind of a person, okay, don't lift your hands, all right? This is the kind of person who does what is right, okay, but somehow doesn't get on the right side of people. Okay, he say the right things, do the right thing, but somehow, you know, there's just no connection with people, okay? People hate him for it, even though he's doing the right thing. I mean, I know some people like that. Or otherwise, it's just bad luck, this guy. You know, everything he does is somehow bad luck. Okay? And so, we'll learn from him, and we find that the first setback that he has, actually, the first setback started because he had this dream. Okay, God gave him a dream. God said that, in the dream, he saw they were collecting sheaves of grain, basically stalks of grain. And in the dream, he said that, and he told all his brothers, in a dream, my stack stood up upright. And then all your stack came around mine and they started to bow to it. And so that got their brothers even more angry. Okay, their brothers saying, what? Are you saying that we are going to bow to you? You're going to rule over us? Okay, so that got them even more angry. And what happened was they decided to kill him. But eventually they decided maybe it's more profitable just to sell him away. Okay, so finally, okay, in the field outside, okay, in verse 28, it says that then Midianite traders passed by and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. And this is what the Bible says. And the thing is that the first setback that Joseph had in his life was that he was betrayed by his brothers. You know, how many know that betrayal is a very difficult thing to stomach? You know, when it hits your heart, betrayal is traumatic. You know, when you feel that somebody has betrayed you, you get very angry. You want to revenge. Okay? And this is what it is for Joseph. Okay, he suffered betrayal. All right, but he took it well. Okay, the Bible says that, in fact, he moved on. You know, the thing about betrayal is that because it's such traumatic, sometimes it causes us to make illogical decisions. I mean, if you If you're a young man or a young lady here, and then you're having a relationship, and then your girlfriend or your boyfriend cheats on you, right? You feel betrayed, right? And then sometimes in your mind, you make some very sweeping decisions in your mind. You say, you know, I will never marry again, and I'll never go and marry another person because this is what happened to me, you know. And for life, you can be having that kind of a mindset, okay? Just because one person cheated on you, and you kind of like say, for the rest of my life, I will never trust people anymore. Okay? That's illogical. Okay? But betrayal can cause you to do that. Or some of you, maybe in your own family business, and you find that in your family business, your own brother betrayed you, cheated on you. And then all of a sudden you say, I will never do family business again. I'm just going to cut out my own, forget about the family business, dump it aside, and do something else on my own. But that's also very illogical. But we can take decisions like, and it will affect us for a lifetime. Unless we learn how to let go, okay, these things are going to be a drag on our lives, right? Every time you hear family, oh, you're already sick of it, okay? So we need to learn how to let go. And Joseph, the guy, he was able to move on, okay? Why? Because when he was sold by the Midianite traders in Egypt, he was sold to the chief of arms, okay, the Potiphar himself, okay? He's an official in the Pharaoh's chambers. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was successful. He was doing fantastic, okay? So this guy bought him over, and this guy has had him run his entire household. So now he was from a slave, he's become like the what you call, COO. Right? He's become the COO of the household, all right? Everything that needs to be done in the house, Potiphar will trust him to do it. And how many of you think that, you know, maybe, wow, things have changed for him. Okay, things have looking up for him now. But life was really unfair to him because guess what happened? There's a very long, actually very long four verses here. I'll just explain it. So he was doing so well, but the Bible says that Joseph was well-built and handsome. How many of you like to be well-built and handsome? I felt so jealous when I read that. You know? So Joseph was well-built and handsome. And you know what? The wife of his master took a fancy to him. And the wife of the master was going to seduce him. Okay, and so what happened was one time when there was no one in the house. You know, interestingly, the Bible teaches us so many things. You can never be alone. I mean, seriously, me, you know, I mean, I was a CEO of a company. You know, I had a nice room of my own. Okay. But I tell my secretary, you never close my door. My door is always open. Whoever comes and see me, I feel safe because the door is open. All right? No, seriously, you look at recently the Chief Justice nomination in the U.S., right? All these women who came out to accuse Justice Kavanaugh that there was sexual misconduct. But they had no evidence. People just come out and throw accusations. So you never know. So it's better to be safe than sorry. All right, if you're going to be a personality, so to speak, you know, somebody of authority, you better make sure that you're on safe ground. Okay, so in any case, it was a time when there was nobody in the house, and the wife asked him to sleep with her. Okay, and Joseph was a man of integrity. Joseph said, "No, how can I do that? All right, the master had entrusted everything to me in this household. How can I sin against God by sleeping with you?" Okay, so what happened was he ran, but as he ran off, the wife managed to catch hold of one of his towels, so to speak, one of his garments, all right? And then, because he ran away, she had to find a story, and so she cooked up this story to say that, you know, he called all the servants in and said, you know what, this guy whom the master brought in is trying to make a fool out of us, okay, he was trying to, there was attempted rape on me, okay, and I caught hold of his garment as he ran off. And so because of that false accusation and injustice, Joseph was thrown to jail again. So, you know, this is the guy whom you thought that he's already successful, he was doing great, but then life wasn't fair to him, okay? He experienced injustice. And this is the second thing sometimes we need to learn to let go. It's false accusations. I tell you, this is something, again, that hits the heart so bad. It's traumatic. When somebody falsely accuses you of something, it's like you have a whole rock on your shoulder that you cannot let go. It's like you feel dirty. It's like you feel like You know, somehow you have to keep explaining to people, okay, it wasn't me. You know, I didn't do it. You know, in fact, when in the last weeks of my deal, and I was already settling, I was already finishing my deal with the Ayala Group to sell off the business. And in the last weeks, my partner of 20 years, you know, the local chairman in the Philippines, all right, and he accuses me of cheating on the company. You know, he accuses me and he tells the incoming buyer and says that, no. You know, we're not going to, we're going to relook at the deal because I was cheating on the company and that we will not pay his so-called my golden parachute because I made the deal, so I'm entitled to get something, to give up everything. So because of that, she was going to try and stop me from getting my deal. But that was a false accusation. And I've never done anything. I've always kept my integrity, okay, just like Joseph. All right? And the thing is that God saved me. You know, I didn't have to move. I didn't have to in any way go out and try and defend myself, okay, because all the books are so clean. All right, we are a listed company. We are audited by SGV, all right? And Ayala, after 120 days of due diligence, found nothing wrong and gave me a letter to say that if your chairman doesn't pay you, we will pay you. You know, and that's how God is, you know. And, but, you know, injustice is always a problem. Injustice happens all the time. How many of you have known of injustice? People falsely accuse you of something. Yeah. You know, it's very hard, right? You have to keep trying to justify, and we need to learn to let go. All right, we need to learn to let go. And the third thing that happened to him. So now he's in jail. He got thrown in jail. And so, as Joseph is a very gifted guy, okay. One day in jail, there was this guy who was also in jail, a cupbearer. I mean, you know what's a cupbearer? A cupbearer in the Pharaoh's palace is that he is the guy who would drink the wine. He would test and see if the wine is poison, right? So he would drink first like the emperor, okay? The emperor would have somebody to drink, test and see if it is okay, it's good, then he would drink. Okay? So he's the guy who would do that. And so, but for some reason, he was thrown in jail and he had a dream. He had a dream and he asked, you know, he was sharing this dream and then somehow, Joseph was able to interpret the dream for him and told him that that you will eventually be released from prison. And so before he left, Joseph told him this, okay? Only remember me, all right? So Joseph did a good deed for him, interpreted the dream, and the dream came through. And then Joseph was telling, only remember me, okay? When it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house, meaning out of this jail, all right? For I indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. That means he was sold off by his brothers, and that I'm here also, I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. Meaning, he was falsely accused. He said that I've done not all these things. You know, speak to someone of authority. Hear my case again. Get me out of jail. All right, and what happened in verse 23? Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. How many of you feel rejected? How many of you feel that sometimes, you know, you're all in the team and you're all in on the project and all that, and then the guy who's arranging your accommodation forgot to book your hotel. He books for everybody except you. Or you know, you're out for good, everyone of you are going to a big party and all that, and they forgot to invite you. Okay? You feel rejected, and Joseph was kind of like that. All right, he thought that now's my good chance. I did a good deed to this guy. And he's the Pharaoh's right-hand man, you know. And I'm sure if he says a good word for me, I will get out of this jail. Right? But the guy forgot him. And as the story goes, all right, again, as the story goes, Joseph finally gets his breakthrough. Because 2 years later, when Joseph was 30 years old, it means when he was 17 to 30, for 13 years, he went through all this. Okay, so now, he's 30 years old. And then Pharaoh had a dream. Okay, Pharaoh had a dream, and Pharaoh called all his magicians and all that to interpret, and they didn't know how to interpret. And then the cupbearer remembered, there's a guy in jail who can interpret dreams. And so what happened was, of course, long story short, Joseph was called in, And then he interpreted the dream. And then Pharaoh was happy with it. Pharaoh made him prime minister of Egypt, so to speak. Right? So read here in verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring. It's just like the emperor giving the plaque, you know, to the authority, all right, from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as the second in command, and people shouted before him, make way. Thus, he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And at the end of the day, after 13 years of suffering, Joseph had a breakthrough. All right, you find that at the end, when he finally met his brothers, okay, at that point in time, Joseph never knew what was going to happen. But then a famine happened in his homeland. A famine happened. There was crops are dying, everything, and the people had to go elsewhere to look for grain. And so the brothers finally came out of their land, went to Egypt to try and buy grain from Egypt. And here you are, all the brothers coming in and seeing Joseph there, and then they have to go in and back to buy grain. All right? And so actually this is a fulfillment of the dream that Joseph had, because the stock of grains that he had was standing up and all his brothers were bowing down to him. And so this is actually the fulfillment of that dream. But the thing is that, how did Joseph react? Okay, how did he let go? And this is where we can learn from him, right? And we need to let go. And so the first thing is that we need to forgive, right? Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know that bitterness, anger, and all this vengeance, and it doesn't help us. Okay, we can be so angry at a person, but that guy doesn't even know about it. How many of you know that, right? And who is the one hurting? You know, you are so filled with anger and so filled with hurt. You're looking at that guy, you want to kill him, but he guy doesn't even know. He's happy, he's looking at you. You know, that's the worst part. You know, but the Bible tells us we have to let go, right? We have to release, forgive that guy, because it helps you more than helps him. So forgive that, just as Christ has forgiven us. You know that we are sinful people. We may be very good. We don't intentionally hurt people and all that. But essentially, our hearts are deceitful. You know, we think for ourselves first many times. All right, we do things that are sometimes without knowing. All right, we don't like a guy, but we don't show it. But actually, in our hearts, we really don't like that guy. You know, other people don't see it, but God sees it. And so, really, we are very sinful people, you know. But God forgave us regardless. He says that regardless of who you are, whatever you've done, doesn't matter, okay? Unconditionally, you are forgiven. And it's how God is with us. So, because we are forgiven people, we can forgive others. And that's what it is. And we can see why Joseph forgave his brothers, okay, in this last chapter of Genesis. Right? This is when the brothers now are approaching him, okay? And they are all there, and they are also fearful. They're saying that, look, now, okay, we thought that we sold him off, and that we got rid of him, but instead, he is now standing in front of us with all the authority in the world, and we are now subjected to him. And they were all fearful that Joseph would take revenge on them. And this is what Joseph answered him. Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You know, what Joseph was actually saying is that, you know, I've never judged you. Despite what you've done to me, I've already forgiven you. I've never judged you any. I'm not God, right? If anybody would judge you, it would be God who would judge you. You know? And so Joseph actually forgave them much earlier. And that's how he could move on, all right? And then verse 20 says, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about the many people should be kept alive as they are today. You know, it's because of this, it's because of everything that's happened, I'm now in the position in Egypt to be able to save many lives, because now he is in control of all the grains. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, at that time, Egypt was so powerful, it was trading with all the nations in the world. Probably the first time international trade happened, you know, where people come and then Joseph would be selling and barter trading with all of them. And so here you are, you find that God is in control. You know, He had a winning mindset. He had a winning attitude. He did not, you know, have this vengeful heart. He did not come in and be irresponsible. Because even in the midst of adversity, at the time when the wife of Potiphar was accusing him, was trying to seduce him, he didn't take advantage. He said, how can I do it and sin against God? He knows who he is in life. All right. And so he had this winning attitude. He never gave away. You know, and this is what it is for us. All right. We can adopt a posture that God is in control. And you know, sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, God brings about adversities, challenges in our lives, really to build our character. Right? Setting us up for something better. Okay. So if you have that kind of a mindset, right, looking at challenges, okay, it's not about problems. Actually, challenges is there to build us up, to strengthen us, to strengthen our resolve. Because God is setting you up for something greater. Okay, setting you up. All right. And so you find that he had that winning attitude, he was able to let go. And as we move on, we have to pursue passionately. Okay, the thing is important in our lives is that we need to set godly priorities. All right, godly priorities help us to develop a godly lifestyle. Right, this is very important. You know why? Because Psalms 90:12 tells us this. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. You know that this verse is very telling, okay? This verse tells us essentially that we are very weak people. We have no power at all. You know why? Because we cannot extend. We all have 24 hours. We cannot extend time. No, neither can we slow it down. Okay, whatever you do, each one of us have only 24 hours in a day. Apparently, according to statistics, 8.8 hours is already taken for rest. Okay, but you sleep or you hang out, chill out with friends, and all that, 8.8 hours is taken up. 8 hours to work plus 2-3 hours to deal with household matters, you only end up with maybe 3-4 hours a day for yourself. So it's how do you make the best use out of that? And essentially what God is saying is that, you know, determine what is significant and important to you. Right? Because time is short. Okay, time is short. Just number your days and develop a heart of wisdom. Heart of wisdom, you know, he wants us to look at values. You know, he doesn't talk about, I was just wondering, you know, why not a head of wisdom? Okay. Head of wisdom is just trying to be logical. If I can earn a bit more money there, maybe I should do that. Okay, but God is saying, okay, you can earn more money there, but really, what's your heart about all this? What's valuable to you? What is significant in your life? Okay, consider that. Okay, not just money and not just the short-term temporary things that you can work on. All right? And so that's really key. So the priorities we have in life, all right, can be looked at from the Bible. And these are some of the priorities I've lived for 20 years as a Christian. You know, in my discipleship walk, you know, pastors, people have overseen my life and said, this is how you do it. This is how you prioritize your life. Okay, and it comes from the Bible. Mark 12, verse 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Okay. It means that God first. No matter what, God first. If you can put God first in your life, that's your priority. That's the biggest priority, the best priority you can ever have. Okay. Put God first. Because, you know, the Word of God is... We sometimes don't understand it, you know. Sometimes we think that if I wake up in the morning or if I read and pray, what's going to happen? All right? Yeah, I'll just maybe waste 30 minutes of my time. But the Word of God is a living Word. Right? When you spend time with God, things happen. You do not know. Somehow in the spiritual realm, okay, God makes things happen for you. You know, somehow you find that your day is much longer. Whatever it is, even though it's 24 hours, but you feel that it's much longer, I can do more things, I'm more productive. Okay? But if you put God first in your life, okay, then you see things happen. You know, for most of my life, basically, I guard this part of my time. God first, I make sure that Sundays I go to church as far as possible. I'm not saying that I never miss church in my life. As far as possible, my priority, I will give time for church. I give time for my life group. I give time to do fast and prayer because all these things affect my discipleship work. It affects my relationship with God. Okay? And so, God first, that's important. That's priority number one. And then the other priorities come, okay, and it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, which is the second most important commandment in the Bible. Okay, the second most important command is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Greater than this meaning the first one and this one. All right, the first one, which is God and your neighbor. How many of you know who is your closest neighbor to you? Yeah, not the guy next door, okay? When I first read this verse, I was thinking, why am I going to love my guy next door? I don't even like the dog that he has, you know? And when I realized that the closest neighbor is the person that when you wake up, you open your eyes, it's right there, you know? That's your closest neighbor, that's your wife, all right? Then your family, okay? And so with that, you can actually set some priorities for yourself, okay? Priority two is your spouse, it's your family, it's your work then, because work is because God has given you a livelihood and you have to be a good steward of that, right? Can you imagine if, things work like that. If you don't guard your livelihood, you're going to get into financial problems. When you get into financial problems, your marriage is going to be in problem. All right? Every day, your wife's going to nag at you because you don't have enough money to spend. All right? So that will be a problem. Okay? But if you spend all your life doing business and you have the greatest and biggest business in the whole world, but your children have never seen you, your wife doesn't even know you anymore, okay, you fail also. So it's a question of balancing. It's a question of how do you put all these things together. So within the priorities that you set in your life, you set your goals. And then it comes down to your church ministry. It comes down to everything else in life. All right? You know, this next slide is very important. Because these two things will distract you from the priorities. Because we always go for the good and miss out the best in our lives. Like a typical week for me when I was the CEO, typical week was that I keep all my lunches for business. So I keep my lunches for business, whatever meetings, whatever that I have is for business. Right? But at night, Tuesday night, I serve like a service like this, you know, young people. Tuesday night, we have a service in Makati Sports Club. You know, people are young like you guys, young men and women, business people, they don't have kids yet, and so they come for midnight service, or rather a weekday service. Okay, and I serve there. You know, I preach sometimes. I take the tithes and offering. So I spend time in ministry at night. I give my time to God for that. And I do a life group on Wednesday night for the men. And then my wife and I, we do couples group on Thursdays. All right. So and then Sundays we go to church. So it's a very packed week. Okay. And Fridays I keep it for my kids, all right? Or Saturdays depending. Okay, or Fridays we go for movies and all that. So in a way I try and balance all this. Okay, but there are many many good things that will come along. All right. In fact, I joined the YPO. You know, the YPO is a very prestigious organization. It's called a Young President Organization. I mean, Hao Chun is already a very active member there. I'm not so active. And one of the reasons is this. I joined YPO because it was beneficial for me in Manila, okay, because then I know a lot of top people there, all right? All the top businessmen are in that organization. Okay, and if you get into that organization, they will invite you to their homes, you can have dinners, and there are a lot of things happening. And so that was a good thing for me, okay? But the problem was that, you know, there's so many conflicting things, all right, happening. You know, YPO is so good in their learning programs. There's so many things that, you know, when you look, wow, I want to attend. But if I attend all those things, I'm not going to be able to do my Tuesday night service. I will miss my LG. I won't have time for my kids. You know, my youngest daughter plays competitive tennis. Every now and then, she'll have a tournament. And you know, as a father, I would bring her to the tournament. You know, I think I only miss one tournament, if I'm not mistaken. I try not to miss any of his tournaments. You know, it's not about, I mean, it's great when you see your kid winning. I mean, he goes there and she wins the game and she comes out. I mean, it was so great. Wow. You know, I brought her here one time to the Penang Open and she beat the Russian girl. Wow, I tell you, so fantastic. All right? She beat the Russian girl. You know, Russian girl. But more than the winning, more than watching them win, okay, when they lose, when they walk out of the courts and you see that you're there for them, that makes a lot of difference. You know, and so, you know, we have to prioritize. Family is important, all right? Our work is important. So in a case like YPO, I mean, gosh, I wish I could attend every single event that they have. They're all so good. But if I do that, it will affect my family's life. It will affect my ministry. It will affect sometimes even my work. If I take leadership position in YPO, then I tell you, I don't have to work anymore. Because, well, we're dealing with all the top guns and everybody is so, you know, everything must be done so well and all that. I tell you, it's hard. So sometimes we fight the good. Or rather, sometimes we go for the good and we miss out the best. Okay, we go for all the good things in life. We chase after all these things. And then we end up missing our family. We end up missing the most significant things in life. Serve God. You know. And this is what it is. You know, in fact, I've never attended a YPO retreat. My first one was only this year, 2018. I went to Singapore, attended the conference. My first time ever. Because there's a YPO retreat, there's a forum retreat. And then after that, you know, we have our own family. June, July, I take my kids out for a holiday because they're in school. December, I come back home, visit my parents. So I have time for family. And on top of that, church conference, leadership training. There's so many things that are competing for our time, you know. And so, for me, YPO, although it's good, it's out for me, you know. And I never did that until now, that when I retired, okay, I have time to go. You know? So, we have to combat that. We have to fight. We have to preserve what's best for our life. Okay? And the other thing, a lot of you young people would be, is FOMO. How many of you know what FOMO is? Yeah. I learned that from my daughters. FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, you know, because everybody's got something good. Everybody's going to something great. Okay, oh, I feel missed out because they're all doing it. I have to do it. Okay. And you have to fight that. Okay. You got to know and learn what is significant in your lives. All right? Because you can only learn so much. You can go out there and do all the things like what Joshua said earlier, you know, before knowledge is power. You go out and you learn and you put in so much knowledge and all that. But we can, when we apply only very little. And that's the problem. You know. That's why for as a Christian, you know, your maturity as a Christian is not how much you learn. When your maturity as a Christian, how much you obey with the little that you already learn. You know? So even though you may be a 2-month-old Christian, okay, but if you learn one thing in the Bible and you obey it faithfully, man, you are a mature Christian. But if you can be 20 years Christian, learn all the things, attend all the courses, know everything about the Bible, know about Job, know about Isaiah, know about everything, know even more than me, but I've never obeyed anything, what's the point? You know. So the thing is, what's significant in your life? So as you enter 2019, okay, as you enter 2019, you need to keep it in perspective. Right? God first. God first, your family, right? Your work, your business, your church ministry, and then everything else. Then you decide how you want to move within it. All right? So, my last strike, I'm running out of time. You need to create a winning attitude. And I just want to tell you this. Having a winning attitude is not about what you're going to do. Having a winning attitude is about who you are. Right? It's about who you are. Okay? If you believe that you have no value, if you believe that you are just a clerk, you believe that I'm only a janitor, I have no value, all right? Then you will never win. But the Bible says, in John 1, 12 and 13, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Right? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. If you believe, if you have Christ in your life, and if you're a child of the Most High God, you are winning already. If you have that mentality, you know, I have God with me. You know, the Bible tells us, Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you feel weak, you just read that verse and say, man, I'm strong again. You know, the Bible encourages, the Bible tells you in Deuteronomy, what? You are the head and not the tail. You are the top and not the bottom. You walk in into a meeting with confidence. I'm the head and not the tail. That's the winning attitude. That's the winning mindset that you have. Because of who you are, not because of what you do. Because God loves you, God values you, and He's going to make sure that your life will be worth living. Right? And that's what it is. And so, as you enter 2019, I just want to encourage you with that. Alright? So we're close. And we'll worship. You can... can stand up and there'll be